Today, I get to share with you a little bit about what I did in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm really excited to share with you when I was there. Super fun things happened in Phoenix, Arizona. My imagination just really had to slow down because God had me going. I was so excited. So I want to help you picture where I was and what was going on. So if you will, just for a moment, picture a Nazarene church in Phoenix, Arizona. A very small group of people meeting together Saturday night in a home. And this home is also the church. Okay, so the pastors live here. This is also the church. They get together, they read scripture, they have a meal together, they take communion, they pray together. This is their church in this little home on Saturday nights. They sing songs, they have worship together. Then on Sunday morning, they have another church service, but it's still not in a church building. Do I have you go, what's going on? Where are you going with this, right? They go to the YMCA. That's right. And see this little corner here? This is an exit hallway. They moved them like multiple different times. This is where they were when I was there. They meet with the residents at the YMCA and they have church in this little tiny exit hallway. And the tables go in the corner and that's where they meet. They make pancakes and sausage and they eat together and fellowship. So all the people that were meeting on Saturday night now meet together with the YMCA residents in this little hallway, and that's their church. And the pastor gets up, and she preaches this beautiful sermon. I think she spoke for maybe 10, 15 minutes, and you looked around, and there wasn't a dry eye in that little hallway. She spoke on the prodigal son, and I was just, it was beautiful. Beautiful. And then after that, after our church service, all these people that we've just been loving on and witnessing to, they get up, and they're just, they're so excited. I'm thinking, what's going on, right? What's happening? And they go over the counter, and they're just throwing pancakes and sausages on these plates, and they're filling this huge cart. So I go over, and I'm like, okay, let's do this, right? So I don't know what we're doing, but I'm doing it too because everybody's so excited. And so we're filling this cart, and we filled this thing to the brim. There was no room on that thing. We were just, as many pancakes and sausages were left, we filled this thing up. And then this one woman, I wish I could remember her name. She was wonderful. She is just so excited with this cart, she is skipping. And she's just skipping with this cart right out that exit doorway. And they all just start running. I mean, they were just so excited across the street to the park. And they started screaming, breakfast, breakfast, come eat some breakfast with us. And they started passing these plates of pancakes and sausage to all the people outlined in the park. Just feeding, loving on these people. And I was like, yeah, let's do this. I was walking, you know, passing out food too. And we were telling people, good morning, we love you. Are you hungry? Let's feed. You know, what can we do for you? These are the people we were just witnessing to. And then they were witnessing to me. Wow. Wow, God. Wow. Church. Church in a whole different building. A little hallway, reaching the forgotten and the untouchable. So after the service, we do this, we share, and then all those folks are blessed like crazy. I was blessed, but we were reaching people that were forgotten. So my question to you today is, are these folks the Gentiles of today? Are the residents of the YMCA or the people on the outskirts of the park, are they the Gentiles of today? Now, we might get a little uncomfortable with this question. We might hear what Pastor Jamie and Pastor Jad are doing, their story, and think, oh, that's good for them. That's great. Somebody's doing it. Or we might squirm in our seat a little bit, change position, get a little uncomfortable. Maybe some are like, oh, forget this. I'm not going back next week. A pastor's telling me to do something. I don't want to do that. But it's easier, right? It's easy to sit in our pew and be super cozy and warm and listen to a lovely sermon. Thank you very much. And then go home and, well, that was really nice. That was really nice, right? But in our scripture today, the Jewish Christians, they got a little uncomfortable too. Oh, yeah. They got uncomfortable with Peter because they heard that he went to a Gentile's house. Whoa. And then he ate with them. How dare he? Oh, my goodness. So they get a little excited. We're going to read in our Bibles today about that. So if you want to stand, let's learn from God's word today. We're going to be in Acts chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. And yes, I'm going to make you stand through the whole thing. So Peter explains his actions. The apostle and the believers throughout Judea heard the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went to into the house of the uncircumcised men and ate with them?" Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, and I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven, but its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Now, right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying, and the Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. So these six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house, and he told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' Now, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." Amen? Amen? Amen. God, thank you so much for your word and your scripture. This is the word of the Lord. I pray the Holy Spirit just comes and transforms our hearts with this word, Lord. We welcome the Holy Spirit into this space. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So we have the uncircumcised Jewish Christians, okay? They're getting a little excited, okay? Getting a little excited. And then Peter has just got home from traveling, and they just get over this. They just get all over this poor guy. He just gets home. He's probably tired. He's barely taken off his sandals. And like, "What are you doing? These are Gentiles. What are you thinking?" And Peter says, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. Slow your roll. Okay, let me tell you what happened. I had this vision and this voice that came to me telling me to eat clean and unclean things." And maybe at first Peter was a little confused because he says, "Well, that's not the law of the Lord. I got to be careful here." And so he thinks, "Well, maybe it's a test." But then the voice, it kept coming, right? It keeps coming, and he responded that whatever I make clean, do not make unclean, to a point where Peter had to listen. And then three men show up, and they say, "Hey, you need to go with us because we've had a vision about you." Talk about a crazy afternoon. What? That's a lot going on right there. So he goes, but he takes six men with him. I love this. I read this, and I thought, is this your muscle? Why do you take six men with you? Maybe he just wants him to be a part of what God is doing. Either way, he takes his muscle with him, and they all show up at this house, and he starts sharing with the Gentiles.
He starts sharing of what God is doing. And the Holy Spirit comes on them just as he did for God's people at Pentecost. And Peter's like, boom, light bulb. He starts remembering the words of Jesus, who he baptized with the Holy Spirit. Gentiles are part of the promise. So the men who were once criticizing him realize this too. They're like, yeah. Ooh. They start praising and worshiping God. Now they're getting excited. So Peter, he had to get a little uncomfortable, didn't he? He had to get a little uncomfortable to where God was calling him to. And I believe that is what we also have to do. We have to get a little bit uncomfortable to go where God is calling us. So we first need to ask the question. This is the big question for today. Are you ready for this? Who are our Gentiles of today? Who are our Gentiles of today? Are the Gentiles today the folks that we see on the outskirts of the park or the streets? They're huddled under blankets to get warm. They're unsure where their next meal might come. Are they the people in the nursing home that have blank walls? You know, I go to the nursing home to visit Ethel, and I sit with her, and she has these beautiful cards and pictures all over her walls. Her church family loves her, and her family loves her. And she talks about how she gets phone calls from them, and she shares stories. But then I walk through that nursing home, and I also see walls that are completely blank, just white. Who's coming to visit them? Who's sending them a card? Are the Gentiles today those who don't have a voice? The young children who got lost in the foster care system? They're moved from house to house, and sometimes they end up on the floor of the social care workers because under the desk there's nowhere else for them to go. Children who leave their homes in a rush with only a black garbage bag full of their clothes. The Gentiles of today might be those who are hurting. The people who have trauma they carry with them and the hurt that just immobilizes them. They're broken and they're lost. They come from broken homes, families, and communities. Often they get lost in the shuffle. And then even when they do find a family, they're hurt again. And so they have difficulty being loved. Becomes a struggle. Just like a child has gone through trauma, they have difficulty bonding with their family, relationships, and their emotional reactions aren't normal to the day-to-day. Many children who find these healthy bonds too late, they usually grow up to follow in broken families' footsteps, the footsteps they were saved from. As a Sunday school teacher at the Eureka Nazarene Church, there were many different foster care families in our church who these children were in my Sunday school class. And one year I had three, and it was often difficult to teach about love. And I remember one particular lesson that I was preaching about, it was just as simple as Jesus loves you. And they couldn't sit at the table. It frustrated them so much, that difficulty to hear that Jesus loved them, that they would end up under the table tearing and breaking crayons. They couldn't hear that someone loved them that much. It was too hard. And oftentimes it was me sitting under the table with them just trying to calm them down because that's too hard to accept that someone loves me like that in the world that I live in. So will the Gentiles today accept God's word? How do you accept a word that you are loved when you've seen something different for a long time? Well, let's talk about the culture shift because that's a really important piece of how they accept the word of God. The world is drastically changing. Would you agree?
Yes.
Often, every day. The way people communicate, the way we spend time together and create relationships is very different. Many couples that we come across in the wedding world now meet through the internet. Gone are the days of the nervous first date. Meeting someone in person, that doesn't happen anymore. People meet online. You can text. You can break up with someone through text. I've never done that. But that's a thing now. I don't have to see your face. I can just text you. People can argue on social media platforms and tear each other apart without little consequence of that in-person interaction and embarrassment. So which might have protected them from putting their foot in the mouth, no longer there. Just do it right there online. And with AI, people don't even have to share their true feelings. They can get ChatGTP and ask AI how they feel and how they should share about it. Copy and paste, done. These days, people spend more time on their phones than in relationships, and they become these scrolling friends. Oh, what are they doing today? Great, good. Yep, wonderful. I know all about them now. I don't have to call. Don't have to go by their house. Because they read all their updates online. Did you know that the average American spends 5 hours and 16 minutes on his or her phone? That's a long time.
Is that per day, per week, per month?
That's per day, I believe.
Per 5 hours.
Oh, thank you. 5 hours, 16 minutes, yeah. Per day, it's 5 hours and 16 minutes. I didn't write that in my notes, Sherry. Maybe I should have you review this first. The average American checks their phone 205 times per day. Is that not crazy? I had to think about it. I'm like, do I do that? Ooh. And 81% of those people, they check their phones within the first 10 minutes of waking up. I am totally guilty of that. The culture shift of time with family has become sports games and appointments. Calendars are filled to the brim with busyness. The times that families sit down and eat at the table are become far and fewer between in our culture. Families must fight every day to create real human connections with their children and fight for their family dinner at the table with real conversation happens and phones are put away. In this culture, there's also a lot of church hurt, and it's heavy. And as the church, we become this thing we want to stay away from. Some people are afraid to just walk in the building, and they fear speaking with someone who wants to share the good news with them. And they struggle with the idea of religion, because church hurt can truly blind them to the relationship God desires to have for them. Then there are the nuns. 28% of adults are not religiously affiliated with anything. They consider themselves atheists, agnostics, or 68% believe nothing in particular, nothing at all. Some believe there is a God, but don't want to be a part of a religious organization. Some believe that religion is harmful, and some believe it can be positive, but they're more anti-religion. So over the past 15 to 20 years, the nuns of the world have grown drastically to the point of now we have a generation of nuns that believe absolutely nothing. How heartbreaking. Nothing. So my question to you is, will we get out of our comfort zone, and how do we do that? As a church, we have an obligation to step outside of our comfort zones, and these obstacles can feel pretty daunting. That's a lot to take in. Long gone are the days of always just inviting someone to church and they'll come with you. It doesn't always cut it. So how does the church continue to reach those that God desires them to bring into his kingdom? How do we bring the kingdom here on earth and to those person that we're right in front of? Well, we may have to step outside the church walls. We may have to see ourselves as the church and bring the church to them. That's big.
Who do we need to bring the church to? Who are the Gentiles of today? This is the uncomfortable part. This is the part where you're going to start squirming in your pews. This is the part that many Christians think, no, I'm good. I'm good. I'm cozy. I don't need to go there, and I don't need to do that. God will take care of the Gentiles today. God will take care of them. I don't have to. Guess what? That's how God takes care of them, is you and me, the church. He uses us. He calls us. He calls you and me. He calls the church to take care of the broken and the lost, the hurting and the angry. He calls us to bring the coffee and the breakfast for the one who doesn't know where his next meal is going to be. He calls us to pray for them. He calls us to the unlovable child that's lost or laying underneath the desk of the social worker's office. He calls us to the trauma of those who are hurting because of church hurt or anger or brokenness or broken relationships. He calls us to live a life of Christ to a generation of nuns. God calls the church. You are the church. I am the church. We are the church. God calls the church to create relationships outside of this building. Jesus created relationships everywhere he went. He's not just in the business of healing and saying goodbye. He loved each person deeply. And I love this. He called them daughter. He called them friend. He called them disciple. He loved them. And he was making connections and relationships beyond the brick and mortar. So who are the Gentiles of today? This will be something that we'll have to fight for. In today's technological culture, we'll have to be creative in how we build relationships. In today's culture of families fighting the busyness and loss of connection, the church will have to fight even harder and trust the guidance of the Holy Spirit to think outside the box and get uncomfortable. Because God is calling us. He's calling us and he's inviting us to step into a new space and a new way of doing church. God is calling us to see the hurt, to see the broken, and to see the lost. God is calling us to see the Gentiles of today. Because Jesus loved them, so he calls us to love them. He wants us to remember that God desires these people to be part of his kingdom. And it's time to take that step of faith to reach them. We have to bring the kingdom here, now, right in front of them. We got to do it. In any space we're in, it doesn't have to be here. Because church, we have to think outside the box. We can't stay in the box. We don't get anywhere if we stay in the box. This is only a building. Do you believe that?
Amen.
This is a tool, and we need to use the tool right. But this isn't the church. We are the church. Amen. And we need to be the church out there. What if one of you's child plays in sports? And you're just sitting on the bleachers, and you got a bunch of parents around you, and one day you just said, you know what? How do you guys feel about having a Bible study while the kids are practicing soccer today? And then it just happens every week. Is that church?
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. Are you bringing the kingdom to the soccer field?
Yes.
Heck yeah. That's what we got to do. We got to bring the kingdom to the soccer field. If parents are going to be at the soccer field, let's bring the church. Jamie, can I pick on you for a second? Where are you? There she is. Okay. Remember the cup? Never share anything. It's going to end up on stage. I think you'll be okay with this. We were sitting there talking, and she was talking about her family, how they go camping, and she does her devotions in the morning, and she brings out her Bible, and they end up all around her. And I said, Jamie, that's church. And she said, what if I just bring everybody a Bible? That's church. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Jamie bringing Bibles for her family who are camping with her, and she just wake up, and there's like, you know, Bibles all set out at the picnic table. She's like, let's do church, family. Amen? Yes, that's what we gotta do. We gotta be church. So my question for you first is, are you feeling uncomfortable yet? Yes, good. How is the Holy Spirit pushing you out of your cozy? Because I know he's got something on your heart. I know he does. I'm looking at all you thinking like this. Oh, what should I be doing? How can I be the church? How can I bring the kingdom? Where do I go? Where do I go shop? Where do I go to work? Who is God putting on your heart right now? Who's on your heart? Maybe it's as simple as your family. That's okay. Maybe it's Jamie saying, I just want my family to do church with me at camp. Who is God putting on your heart right now? Hold on to that. Hold on to it. We're not done yet. Hold on to that. The Gentiles of today may be a different group tomorrow. Remember, it's constantly changing. I don't want to forget them. I never want us to become so comfortable that we set them aside for someone else. God will take care of them. Nope. That's why he calls you. That's why he calls me. God is calling us to the Gentiles of today. So let's go and get uncomfortable. We need to think outside the box and go reach those whom God is calling us to love. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen. Today we're going to break bread. We're going to take communion to remind us what Jesus did for us. That's where it started. Jesus did this so we can go out and share the good news.
Amen.
And then when you bring people in here, you bring the kingdom then, you bring them here, you say, hey, you might not know Jesus, but you are seeking, so go to the table. Because we say anyone can come partake in this if they are seeking Jesus. We want you to come partake in this with us, a breaking of bread. We want you to understand what Jesus has done for you. Do you believe that today? In Matthew, Jesus took the bread and he was giving thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. And then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood, the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink. Dear God, we just thank you so much for this opportunity to remember what you have done for us first. That all people are part of this promise, this covenant. Help us to remember that we need to be out there bringing the kingdom to continually bring people to the table who are seeking Jesus. They're not going to find their way here without us being the hands and feet of Jesus. May we just take this with us this week and constantly be looking for those people who may not have a voice. The people we may get uncomfortable, like those Jewish leaders. And help us to remember that all people are part of your promise. They all have a place in your kingdom. And we need to be the ones sharing the good news and giving the letter, just being Jesus, so that they come to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Lord God, thank you so much for your goodness. Don't let us stop singing about it today. May we go outside the church and share your goodness with every single person we meet. Help us get uncomfortable. Take that person that's on our heart and just make a way for us to share Jesus with them. And be with us as we continue to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's go out. Let's leave here and share Jesus with those that we love and those that we meet.
Amen.
Amen. Woo.